scripture this morning?
Our scripture this morning comes from Galatians chapter 13, or excuse me, chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Galatians 6, beginning with verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear it in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Our praise song this morning. Father, we do come to you today and praise you for the wonder that you are. Lord, may you now speak to us your timeless message. May all the words that are spoken, Lord, be yours. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, when we were still living out in the Leicester area, I noticed there was this place over near the school on the mountain, kind of behind the school, Dryman Mountain back up there, I guess is what you called it. But in the late afternoon, as we'd be going to the school to late in the afternoon, and kind of this time of year in the fall, probably more so, or towards the winter, there would be going to pick up kids from cheerleading or football practice or one of those things that we all experience there. There were late in the afternoon as the sun was setting back over the newfound direction. Sun would shine up there on that mountain. And there was a house, I think it was actually, Betty, what's the name of the place where the Megan's reception was? The Crest, yeah. It used to be called Ben Lippin up there. It's got huge windows on the front there. And just at the right time of day and the right time of year, the sun would hit that, and it'd just be absolutely beautiful, the colors coming off of that. It was just on fire, and it was beautiful. And I think about that and how magnificent that was, what a glorious sight that was. And I realized that the glory in what I saw there and was able to witness by looking at that, the glory was not in the glass, but it was in the sun, the light that was hitting that glass. And when I read this passage of Scripture today about Paul talking about what we should actually hold up, and we could even say, I think one of the translations, Paul says that I glory in nothing except the cross and Christ crucified, that the glory, our only glory, is in Jesus Christ. It's not in this church, in this building. Because if our glory's in this building, then we see we've got some real problems, because we've had a lot of leaks and problems around here, and we haven't spent a lot of money on it. Our glory is not in this building. Our glory is not in coming here on Sunday morning. Our glory is not in all of the things that make up our lives, but our glory, in only glory, is in Jesus Christ. In this passage, Paul reveals to us our only glory. And he does that kind of, I think, and I'm going to take it from the perspective of first looking at what our glory is not. Now, if we look at verse 11, John, if you want to put verse 11 back up there, I'll just touch on this just to kind of give you a little bit of background. In that, Paul says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." See, Paul was accustomed to dictating. He had a scribe, a secretary, so to speak, that would write the letters for him. And many scholars believe, and I tend to agree with them, that this is one more indication about what Paul's infirmity was. And we read about Paul's infirmity and where he prayed, you know, that this infirmity, this thorn in the side, would be removed from him three times, but it wasn't, and all of that. Most scholars believe that it was something to do with his eyes, and that he had poor eyesight or was almost blind even, and that the reason that he wrote with such big letters was because that was the only way he could see what he was writing. And people get that idea and come to that conclusion most often from the fourth chapter of Galatians, verse 13 of chapter 4. Paul says, "You know that because of physical infirmity I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject." And he's talking about this infirmity that he had. "This trial which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me and was an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." So it sounds like, when you read that Paul's infirmity had something to do with his eyes, that he had trouble seeing. So, we just understand that Paul was a man who didn't have everything his own way and was not a perfect man and had troubles and trials that he had to endure. And even in the midst of those troubles and trials, Paul was able to understand where his glory was at. Verse 12, let's read that. Paul writes, "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Paul says that they make a good showing. Folks, our glory is not in our ability to make ourselves look good. Our glory is not in our ability to make ourselves look good. How many of you remember a commercial from Star-Kissed Tuna, Charlie? You remember Charlie, the slogan, what is it for Star-Kissed? Is Star-Kissed is looking for tuna with good taste. Well, Charlie was always trying to tuna. Starkius is looking for tunas that taste good. Charlie was always trying to exhibit that he had good taste in the clothes he wore, or the furniture that he purchased for his underground. I guess this was a precursor to SpongeBob, maybe, and that whole thing. I don't know. But Charlie was always trying to prove that he had good taste. It wasn't actually good taste that was being looked for by Starkius Tuna. And from God, it's not the appearance of looking good that he's after. He's after the goodness that is in our heart. The Judaizers were people who they were Jewish, members of the Jewish faith who had become Christians, and they were trying to influence all others that were becoming Christians that they needed to first, to become Christians, needed to become circumcised and become good Jews. They were convinced, or they felt like that it was necessary to have on that outward appearance of being Jewish before they could first become Christians. Paul reveals their real motives to them and says that's not important. Becoming a Jew, being circumcised, is not what's important. They were doing that to avoid persecution. See, if you became a Jew, they were hoping that the Jewish faith was going to become, or the Christianity would just be a sect among the Jewish faith. And there was a couple benefits to that for the people. One is if they were part of the Jewish faith, just a sect within the Jewish faith, that they wouldn't be persecuted by the Jewish folks. You know, we're just one place. The Jews were very liberal for the most part in their acceptance. You know, you could be Jewish and have a wide variety of beliefs, just like you can in Christianity today. There's beliefs all across the spectrum. They would have accepted a Jewish Christianity that first required circumcision and adherence to the laws, the laws of Moses. And then if they wanted to go off and worship and follow this rabbi Jesus, then okay, that was, you know, maybe a little on the fringes, but they could live with that. So they would avoid the persecution from the temple, from the high priest and his cohorts. Second of all, if they were part of the Jewish faith, they could avoid persecution from the Roman authorities. You see, the Jewish faith was a recognized and permitted, authorized religion within the Roman Empire. There were many, many religions practiced within the Empire of Rome that stretched for, you know, for thousands and thousands of miles. All sorts of people, all sorts of belief. Judaism was an accepted, was a legal religion to practice. As long as they didn't cause too much trouble, as long as they didn't stir folks up and want them to rebel, as long as they paid their taxes, everything was fine. They could not and would not be persecuted just because they wanted to be Jews and wanted to follow their faith. That was fine with Rome. But you see, these Christians were not an authorized religion, and therefore they were subject, and they obviously did receive persecution from the Roman government, because they were being constantly accused by people like the Jews who wanted them to be Jewish. They were being accused of subverting the Roman rule of authority and stirring up uprisings and those sorts of things. Paul revealed to them that the glory they were seeking there was not in self-preservation. Folks, our glory is not in self-preservation. It's not in making ourselves look good, and it's not seeking to just serve ourselves. And Dan, you talked about in Sunday school this morning about how things worked out with your song and with the Sunday school direction, the Sunday school lesson. Well, right here again, we see the same thing. Our glory is not found in self-preservation. Folks, I got news for you here today. I'm sorry to disappoint you if any of you thought this. You are not going to live forever. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if you've got the best doctors on the face of this earth. I don't care. You can go to any hospital, and folks, we're all going to cross that threshold at some point in time in life. We're not going to live forever. Self-preservation. We can store up all the money. We can buy all the cars. We can build all the houses. And we can do all these things and aspire for all these things. But when the day is done, each one of us has to stand before the Lord. We have to stand before Him. And our glory is not in self-preservation. In all these efforts we maintain that we have, all these efforts that we put forth to preserve ourselves forever and ever, are not glorifying God. Our glory is not in our self-preservation. In verse 13 now, John. Not even those who were circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Not even the circumcised keep the law, Paul says. Paul is saying that our glory is not in keeping the law. Our glory is not in following a set of rules. It's good to know the Ten Commandments and desire to fulfill those. It's good to know all the precepts that have been laid down in Scripture from front to back. It's fine. But keeping them and following them, doing them out of pure repetition or habit, is not what it means. We cannot receive our glory through adherence to a set of laws. Why can we not do that? It's because not one of us can live up to them all. We can't follow them all. Paul knew that. He knew that these people who were telling them to do that couldn't do it. Yet they wanted them to do it, because when you've got somebody, and if I tell you that you can't, the only way that you can be a member of my organization, Emily, is if you do everything I tell you to do right on down the line, if you buy into that and you believe that, then I've got you under my thumb and I have control of you. And that's what we call a cult today. It becomes a cult. And it's not a religion. It's not a faith. The glory, our glory, cannot be found in keeping the law. Now let's look at verses 14 and 15. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." Paul says, "I boast in the cross." What it is that really makes a difference in the world, in our lives, is the cross. That's all that we can brag about or boast about. How many people have you saved? How many lives have you transformed? Not a single one. None of us have. We may have been part of somebody's experience when they came to Christ, because we were there and able to be a friend to them at the time and able to pray for them and able to be with them. But there's not one of us in here saved another person. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, that saves, and that alone. Nothing else. That is all we can boast about. Our glory lies in the cross and the new creation that it enables us to become. The cross enables the world. Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, Paul has died completely. The cross has enabled him to be, for the world to be crucified to him, that no longer does the world force him in the direction that it wants him to go. The world and the fads and the things that are popular of the day are not what drives his life. Neither are the desires in his life what drive him anymore. It isn't the desire to become famous and highly thought of and respected and wealthy and powerful. None of those things any longer matter to Paul. He has been crucified both to the world and the world crucified to him. From within and from without, he has experienced the cross and has become a new creature, a new creation. The cross enables us to become what God desires us to become. This morning, we come to the table the table of Christ, where we remember and are reminded of things past. We are reminded of His sacrifice, of His spilling, His voluntary spilling of His own blood, that we might truly know our true glory, which is in Him. Let us pray. Father, I pray that this day, as we come to Your table, as we experience and are reminded once again of what You have done for us, that we can turn our lives to You, that we can go from here empowered and enabled, knowing that our glory is in You. Lord, bless this time now. In Jesus we pray. Amen.